Thursday night, Or Lvov Kislev. Shmaitza. Sunday night, we're not learning. I mean, I'm learning, but I don't know what you'll be doing. But we're not having the shir. Okay. We're up to Perek Gimel. We're up to Perek Gimel of Shmaitza Beis. Okay. What?
Gimel.
We're doing a review. We're doing synopsis. A review, a synopsis. Actually, we're going into it better than we did the first time around, which many parts of the Shmaitza, that would be the case. Okay. Back at the ranch, we have a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, we have that, right, again, you marry a woman and she's a ba'ula. You can deal with it. You can deal with it like Subas Daftes, where there's no argument between two Balei Dvarim. It's the husband saying Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, and you're dealing with it from a perspective of Issa V'Heter. Maybe something happened that she became Osir on him. Maybe she was Mezane Tachto. So that's how Daftes deals with it. You can deal with it on Daf Yud already. Shmuel and other Amoraim bring in the aspect of the Ksuba. And they say, oh, in the Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, Nemel Afsida Ksubasa. And you're talking about her being Mafsid the Ksuba, but also, and now when you're talking about her being Mafsid the Ksuba, now already you're broadening the horizons. You're having an argument between two people. It becomes very Nogea what she's saying. And there's two reasons why it could result in a loss of Ksuba. If she was Mazane Tachtov, she obviously loses the Ksuba. Or if she, here already, now, like I said, we're broadening the horizons. If she came into the wedding as a ba'ula, it could be a mekach tos. Now, ultimately, that's a machlokas amoron called kinsa becheskas basula benimtsis ba'ula. I say, you know, you have different lashonos in the Gemara, yet Pachap is talking about the same case. If you know ksubis, it's confusing a little, so that's why I'm trying to help you out. Pesach Pesuach Matzasi is the same as Kinsel Becheskos Besula Benimsos Beula. It's the same case. And it's the same as on that Yud Beis or Mid Beis, or Yud Alef or Mid Beis, Anosi Yashayishav Loi Motzala Besulim. Here in Marius Mishir, Yastani Nenasti Vidastav Chosadeyu, Buhu Omer Achala Yastrastich Vohim Mekochi Mekachtos. Right? And there's that's like classic case. And there all of a sudden it's Machlekes or Megamliel or Rabbi Yeshua. It's Machlekes or Megamliel or Rabbi Yeshua. We don't know what happened. Presumably it's Bori Vishema, that's one factor. She's probably Bori, what happened. I mean, she's a Baldover, but every Bori Vishema you're dealing with the Balei Dvarim. You're not dealing with Eidus, you're dealing with the Balei Dvarim. And he's obviously, most of the time he's a Shema, that's what we would assume, that it's Bori Vishema. The Gemara plays around with Migu, if she has a Migu. She wants to be Motzi Momen from him. He has a Cheskos Momen. She has a Cheskos Aguf. She has a Cheskos Aguf, saying that she was probably a, not probably is the wrong word, that we give her, we assume she had the status of a Besula when she got married. So you have all these mitigating factors, and this is the dynamic. And you have a Machlekes of Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel saying, just for shorthand's sake, that Cheskos Aguf is Motzi Momen. That's not really the dynamic, except according to the Pnei Yeshua. But we'll just call it, according to Rabbi Gamliel, she could be Motzi the Momen, and the Baal loses, the Cheskos Momen does not do him any good, we'll call it. And according to Yeshua, Lo Mipi Onu Chayin, El Arezu B'Cheskos B'Ula, Chutavi Raya L'Dvareh, she has the burden of proof. Very nice machlokas. Till we fast forward to the end of Hamadir, and you fast forward to the end of the seventh perek, and all of a sudden the guy's marrying a woman and she has a mum. Now it doesn't say what mum, it could be any mum. It could be she missing a finger. It could be any mum. If a mum is discovered, and there you're only talking, obviously you're not talking about Issa V'Heter anymore, for sure, you're only talking about mum. which we were talking about on Daf Yud Beis and Beis 2, it was an argument about money, about the ksuba. So there, there's a stira between the Reisha and the Sefer. There's the problem. The Reisha, which is, it's different cases, but they're only different cases is only relevant according to Rava. So the Gemara starts off with a question. The Reisha says, if you discover a woman when she's an Arusa, you have the same suffix when it happens, right? An Arusa gets ksuba, according to the Maskon of the Gemara. And so there's the same argument. When did these women come? Maybe the women were there the whole time. And not a Mekachtos, obviously. Maybe they just... maybe they were there the whole time and it is a Mekachtos, because he didn't know about it, maybe. If he didn't know about it, obviously he's Michael and Echonami. We're talking about women that he would not have known about. Okay, so in the Reisha, it says it was discovered that she was an Arusa. You still have the same question, when did it come? And in the Reisha, it says, Al-Hovla Biraya. Al-Hovla Biraya. The Ov, because we're talking about Narusa, and we're talking about Nana Bagheris. They used to get married off when they were Thanos or Naoros. So the father wants the ksuba. He is seen as the Baldover. This becomes relevant in Ravashi's Teretz, the fact that the father is the Baldover. So the father wants the ksuba, and the Reisha says the father has the burden of proof. The father has the burden of proof. In other words, he would want to prove that the woman came after the Erisin. When the stop chosodehu, I actually was listening today to an argument between two people about an apartment and something that happened to the apartment, and I had to actually explain the concept of Nistab Chosodehu to someone that never learned Ksubis and was not a learned person at all, a Gemara, nice person, frum person, smart person. Nebuch, he didn't learn. He's not a member of Beis Tefillah, you know, not everybody has the schus. So he didn't know what Nistab Chosodehu, he never heard of Nistab Chosodehu. He's an Israeli, so he knew the words, but I actually explained today the idea of the stop plus the day. So you have to explain it to someone who never heard of it. It's not so easy. You know, you have to explain that things happen, and sometimes you don't know who they happen to, whom they happen to. And like, who was the Gzar Din on Rosh Hashanah? Was it exactly like, who was the Gzar Din on? Who did it happen to? That's what it means. Nisab Chosodehu means it happened to the Baal. I mean, she got the mum, obviously, in terms of the physical gzeira, the gzeira that someone should suffer a physical deformity or mum, obviously was on the woman. But the monetary aspect, like if kids get sick nowadays, so there's the physical aspect that's on the kid, but really the kids are cotton, so it's really on the father. That's a philosophical, theological question, which we'll go into some other time. But the monetary angle, right? Who shechs the chicken? Who has to shech the chicken? The monetary aspect of a kid, right? Nowadays, a kid gets married, it's a gezeirah ro on the parents. They have to spend all that money. The financial gzeira is on the parents. They're happy to spend the money, but there's two levels of ratzon there. So if you come to tonight's Tanya Shir, if I can give you a little advertisement, a click ad to the Tanya Shir. We talk about, even vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different layers kavayachal of Ratzon. So we'll see. We'll see about that later tonight. Coming attractions. Al-Kaponim, who was the Gzeira on? Nistab Chosodehu means the financial Gzeira that who got messed up. So the financial Gzeira is on him. If the woman happened afterwards, then Nistab Chosodehu. But the father has the burden of proof. That's the ratio. Meaning, we give primacy to the Cheskos Momen of the Baal. But then the Sefer comes along and says, now it's a slightly different case, but meanwhile the Gemara doesn't know that the difference makes a difference. Right? That's what you always want to know. You say it's different, but the difference has to make a difference. Or in Hebrew you say, if the chilek is a mechalek. That's how you say it in Hebrew. If the chilek is a mechalek. In the sefer, the chilek is, you found out about the mum when she was married already. She was married. Like the wording of the Mishnah in Daf Yud Beis, where it says, Hanosa Yaseisha. There, obviously, it was found out after she was married, because v'leimotel abusulim. Here, we're talking about all women, so right. So that's why you have two cases. So here we say the baal has the burden of proof. Nichnas ol rishus habaal, habaal tzorch lahavi raya that it was a mekach tos. Otherwise, she gets full ksuba. Nothing's wrong. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. The ratio seems to be Rabbi Yeshua, and the Sefer seems to be Rama Gamliel. So Rabbi Elazar says, you're right, we have here a broken Mishnah. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Tavra, it's broken. Misha Shonazu, Le Shonazu. The ratio is Rabbi Yeshua, the Sefer is Rabbi Gamliel. Now we're up to the Teretz of Rova, as we embark upon Paragimel of the Shmaitza. Omar Rava. Rava says, Reisha kanimtzu kanhoyu, Seifa kanimtzu kanhoyu. Now this is the Lashon of Rava and his Teretz. We're going to see that there's different ways of looking at this rule as well. It's going to metamorphose into different clothing, different rules. At this point, the Shmaitzer didn't develop yet fully the idea that it's Ein Machzik in Reyes on Rishus for Rishus, which we know already because we're smart, because we learned the Shmaitzer already. But the Gemara will end up calling it Kol Anoyla Asafik Rishus Olav Lohavi Raya. The Gemara is going to give it that label also. At this point, the Shmaitzer, he doesn't explain the rule. It's just, in the Reisha, you found it. Okay, kanim tukanoya means you assume it happened in the Rishus that it was found. So it was found in the Rishus of the Ov, so the Cheskos HaGuf is spoiled. That's how it's looked at this point. This Cheskos HaGuf is spoiled. Reisha, there's a terrible Reisha on this Cheskos HaGuf. You found it in this Rishus. Now remember, there's still an argument, because it was found after Erusin. So there's still a shaila when it happened. There's still a dentira about if she gets ksuba or not. Wait a second, if it was found in his rishus, so what's the shaila? Yeah, the shaila is when it happened, before Erison or after Erison. But they're both in the rishus of the Av. That's the point here. Maybe it's a chiddush, maybe it's not a chiddush. It's in the rishus of the Av. She's in the rishus of the Av until Nisuin, even after Erison. And therefore, we say kanimtzu kanhoya, which at this point we're calling it very important, because the Shmaitzer really develops his idea. He develops a chiddush. At this point, it's a reyus on the Cheskos HaGuf. You can't use the Cheskos HaGuf because there's a reyus in it, a tremendously huge reyus. Reyus being that we see the mum here. We see it. It's in front of our. It's in our face. So, Mashenkin in the sefer, it was found in the rishus of the baal. And therefore, and you could say it this way, and at this point the Shmaitzer is perfectly willing to say it this way. Therefore, in a loyalam we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, that Cheskos HaGuf takes primacy and is sort of motzi the moment from the bow. But in the ratio, the Cheskos HaGuf is at this point, that's how the Shmaitzer is learning in the Gemara. It's very hard Gemara, a lot of Rishonim. At this point, the Shmaitzer is looking at it, in the ratio, the Cheskos HaGuf is spoiled. Has a reyusah, tremendously huge reyusah, so there's no Cheskos HaGuf for all intents and purposes. But in the Sefer, there's a wonderfully fine Cheskos HaGuf without a reyusah. The reyusah is in the Rishus of the Baal, Adarabba. But the Cheskos HaGuf is like in tandem with the reyusah that we found the moon, and therefore we, Shalom, we go with Rama Gamliel. Loilam, we go with Rama Gamliel. But there's a problem with the Cheskos HaGuf and the reyusah, and therefore the ratio's din is different. Now, Abaye asks a kasha on Rav. You want to spend the next 6 months learning Ksubas Lafayin Hay? Or you want to learn Shmaitze? Okay. Abaye asks a kasha on Rav. Abaye asks a kasha on Rav. That the Mishnah, what does the Sefer say? Nichnas al Rishus Abal, and you found the woman there. Abal Tzorech Lavi Raya, that the woman was there before the Erisin, and there was a Mekach Tos. Now you don't see any problem with the Mishnah. Very fine Mishnah. What's the problem? Aha, the Gemara says. Why does the Baal ask Abaye to Rava? Why does the father have to bring a raya that the woman was there before the erusin, and therefore he could claim it was a mekach tos? If your reasoning is correct, the father just has to bring a raya that the woman was there in the father's house, even after erusin. Once we establish the woman happened in the father's house, then he loses the case. Just like in the reisha, you discovered it after the erusin in the father's house, and he loses the case. Because Kanimsa Kanhoya, it happened, we found that we discovered the movement in the Rishusa of, so the Cheskos HaGuf is Isra, you can't be Moitzi Momen anymore. So in the Sefer, when you find it in the Rishusa of Baal, it's very clever Abaye. He says, why do you have Mishnah say that the father has to bring a raya? It's like an innocuous statement, thank you, that the Baal has to bring a raya, that the movement would hear before the Erisin and it was a Mekach Tos, which is technically correct. But no, he doesn't, says Abaye. Guess what? He really only has to bring a raya that the moment happened in the father's house. And he even if he would bring a raya, according to you, Rava, he just has to recreate the resha. He just has to bring a raya that the moment would hear in the reshus of the father, even if they are discovered, so to speak. Even if they are established to have been there only after erusin. Okay, but the Reisha says if you even find it after Erisin, the father's messed up, so to speak, and the father's the one that has to bring a raya. So that's Abaye's kasha on Rav. The Gemara answers a whole series of back and forth terutzim that are really not so negeya us. The terutz is that if she's already married, the Gemara says there's another chazaka to reckon with. There's another chazaka to reckon with once she's already married, and then that's a chazaka called Ein Adam Shoser Bekos Elim Kein Botko. We sort of have a raya, we sort of have a chazaka. Before he got married, he checked her out that there was no woman. And that's not a very, very powerful chazaka. It doesn't stand by itself. If the Baal would bring a raya that the woman was there before the erusin, right, that's what it does say. He has to bring a raya that the woman was there before the erusin. So, and if he does, he can claim mekach tos and he would win. And we wouldn't ask a kasha on that. But what do you mean you're married already?
If he was able to prove that, why didn't he research it before they got married? Wouldn't that have been proof that he should have known anyway?
Not enough proof. Maybe he couldn't, maybe he didn't, maybe he wasn't able to. That's the Gemara's point. That's what the Gemara goes back and forth with for a couple of lines. And obviously, that the chazaka, Ein Adam Shoser Bekos, you don't marry a woman until you check her out that she doesn't have woman, is not that powerful. Because if he brings a raya that she had the woman before erusin, he does win and he can claim mekach tos, despite what you're saying. But it's enough, it's like two against one, and it's strong enough that it's strong enough to answer Abaye's kasha, let's put it that way. That if the woman was discovered after marriage, and all the Baal was able to muster up was proof that the woman was there, the base of, but after erusin, that wouldn't, he wouldn't be able to win with that. If you discovered it before he was married, so we have the dynamic that Rava says, Kanimsa Kanhoya. But if it was discovered after Nisuin, so you say, listen, you got married, you probably checked her out before, and that combines with everything else, so you lose. Now, Rashi and Tosis get into the act. it becomes more relevant later in later discussions of the Shmaitza. So, and they say, I should have paused. New paragraph. Rashi and Tosfos now are bothered by a good question. This is very nice. Rav is wonderful. We understand his teretz, tabayis kasha. Everything's very nice. But if we look at the Mishnah in Ksubis, Taf Yud Beis Umid Beis, remember we have these series of members of Amri Roam and Brises and Mishnahs, and they're all like sort of talking about the same thing with different language words, and we have to make everything shtim. So there's a Mishnah in Ksubis, Taf Yud Beis Umid Beis, Rav Gamliel himself, the tati of this shita now, because we're running, the football's Rav Gamliel. We're running with Rav Gamliel. We're going with Rav Gamliel. And there it says, that means you discovered a problem with the woman, right? After marriage, obviously. And it says that she is claiming, Misha Erastani Na'enasti. You go, whoa, stop! Abaye, Rava, wait a second. Ding, ding, ding. Why would she say those words? That's not enough. Yisheir Astani Nenasti is not enough. Because he obviously had a way of checking it out. He could have checked the newspapers. He could have checked what happened. So why could she say, where's Rashi? Where's Rashi? Yeah, I'm going to find the Rashi. Yeah. If you have a ksubis and you're so inclined, you can look at that vayin heyamid beis. No, that's not. Oh. See Rashi talk about it, but Tosfos does. Ready? Okay, Tosfos. The problem is that there you have a recreation of this whole type of story, and there she seems to be saying Misharastani Nenasti, and that shouldn't be enough according to what we're saying now. If she, why would she say just Misharastani Nenasti? That's not enough, right? If all she's saying is that I became a Ba'ula based on Abba, so you still don't know when it happened, right? So maybe it happened before the Erison too. So why would she say something that doesn't really gain her anything? I mean, she's saying that because if we would accept what she says, but she's making the mum, so to speak. She's like painting a picture with the mum is discovered, so to speak, by her admission, but a little too early. Like, it's not good enough, really, for her to win. So Tosfos says, if you look at the Vayin Hamad Beis, the last Tosfos, V'yoy Meres Misharastani Nenasti, Hosom Nimtzus Reyes of Rishus Habal, Shenosa V'loy Motzala Besulim, L'kach Nemenes Roma Gamliel, D'loy Yisra Cheskos Rishus Ha'ov, that she got Nensa after she was married. So then we write it's like discovering the mum, Bishas Erisin. So it's Isra, we have this tremendous Reyosa on the Rishusa of. So it's like Lav Dafka, and it's Mishekinastani Ne'enasti. That's the point, right? It's like Mishekinastani Ne'enasti. Mishekinastani Ne'enasti. And it was according to Rava's Teretz, and Abaye's Kasha, and our Teretz. So that case, for Rav Gamliel to hold water, for Rav Gamliel to be true, it would have to be possible, and she would have to be saying that she was Nival after the Chuppah, after the Nesuin. Because if it wouldn't be possible, then this huge reyusa to the cheskos haguf happened in the reshusa of, which is exactly Abaye's kasha, right? Because Rava said it. Rava said reisha kanimsa kanhoya, seifa kanimsa kanhoya. And so in the reisha is a reyusa in the reshusa of, so his cheskos haguf is spoiled. And then Abaye asked the kasha, and then we said, right? And we said a terrorist, but it turns out that it's not enough to discover it. It's not enough to establish. Once you're married, it's not enough to establish that it was discovered after the erusin. Right? So there on Daf Yud Beis, she's married already. So why is she saying it happened after the erusin? I mean, she could say that because that's good for her if that actually happened. But it's really not enough. You know, if we say, okay, that's an admission that you were a bula before the nesuin, but that's not good enough. That's a reyus of vayter in the reshus ha'av. We need her to be saying, we have to say, you know, maybe it happened after the marriage. Maybe the reyus is in the reshus of the baal, not in the reshus of the av. Okay, I'm speaking it out because the shmeitzer did. Okay, now we move on to Ravashi. Rav Ashi is back in Hamadir. It's like a third teretz. Even though in the fifth perek of the Shmaitzer will say that Rav Ashi is not saying a third teretz to the kasha between the Reisha and the Seifa. Rav Ashi is modifying Rav's teretz. He's giving a different teretz to Abaye's kasha, but he's sticking with Rav. But right now we'll just assume that Rav Ashi is a teretz on its own. And he says a funny teretz that the Shmaitzer, at least funny according to Rashi, according to other Rishonim, the Shmaitzer says he really is puzzled. He doesn't understand the teretz. He doesn't understand the way Rashi and Tosfos interpret Rav Ashi, especially if it's a teretz with Neatzmo. It is that the Reish is talking about that the Baal Dovar is the father, because he's the one that wants the Ksuba. So the Reish can't use, quote unquote, her cheskos haguf, because the father's the Baal Dovar. If she was the Baal Dovar, she would be able to use the cheskos haguf. In the Sefer, she's the Baal Dovar, because she's the one that wants the ksuba. So you say she has a cheskos haguf. Okay, the Shmaitzer later on in the Perek, at the end of the Perek, will be very bewildered by this teretz. It's like, what's shot? I don't even like the way the Shmaitzer asks the kasha. He pulls this, he says, but you see, if you know the first parak of Ksubis, you know there's a concept called Cheskos Ha'em Mahani Labas. And Cheskos Ha'em, right? That if you have a Shaila, if a woman was Nival, and you don't know to whom, if she became puzzled to a Kohen, and then there was a child born. So here's an example of the thing I was telling you yesterday and the day before. The woman has a cheskos kashrus, because up till the point in time where she was nival, she was kosher l'kahuna. We're talking about kashrus l'kahuna. And maybe she was nival to a goy, maybe she was nival to a posel that made her posel to kahuna. So if you're talking about her status, so she has a chazaka, because she was certainly kosher up to a certain point in time. When you're talking about the child has no cheskos kashrus. Again, because the child, you're clearing what was the child. Was the child kosher apostle tikkuna from its very inception, from the moment it was born? So there's no cheskos kashrus. You want to know what it was? It was maybe born as a apostle. So the child has no cheskos kashrus. So it's theoretically possible to say when this suffix is noilad, who she was nibble to, assuming it's a suffix. It's a richtig suffix. The way we know Sveikus, right? Learning Shmaitzel, Sveikus. So she would be kosher l'kahuna. She's allowed to go marry a kohen, because she has a cheskos haguf. I'm sorry, cheskos kashrus, cheskos din, that she's mutter to a kohen. But the child cannot marry a kohen. And you would be left with that anomaly, with that stira, really, with that contradiction. What was she nibbled to? Terence says, it's good thing Chapel is not here tonight. Chazaka doesn't have to make sense. In one case, you have a chazaka, the mother has a chazaka, and the daughter doesn't have a chazaka. The other man, the Amr, hold, and these are very famous words as you travel through Shas. Cheska so'em mahani labas. The bas could use even the chiddush is that even though chazaka is not a raya, see chapels on here, he would feel good about this. Even though chazaka is not a raya, because it's not, chazaka is not a raya. Chazaka just says maintain the status quo, and that's what chazaka is. But still, it could be used as if it's a raya, and the daughter could be kosher too, could be kosherized thanks to the mother's chazaka. In other words, the mother's chazaka will allow us the assumption that the boyel was kosher, l'kahuna, didn't make a puzzle to a kayim.
It's almost similar.
And will carry it over to the daughter. Even though the chazaka does not address the fact, it doesn't address the facts of the case, but it sort of just allows us a certain assumption that we have no right to make, but that's what chazaka allows us to make, not to make the assumption maybe, but to have the assumption that the boil was kosher, and therefore the daughter could use it. So, let me just finish, please. So the Shemaitza here is using that. I don't even think you need that here. Maybe, I don't know. Here it's a Cheskos HaGuf. Here it's even better. Because here, remember, we said Cheskos HaGuf is very powerful, and Cheskos HaGuf does address. That's what's bothering me about the Shemaitza. See, I'm able to crystallize it now. A Cheskos HaGuf shouldn't even need. And on one hand, the Shemaitza doesn't need. I don't think there would be a machlokas here about Cheskos Eimani Labasuna. The father could use the daughter's chazaka because Cheskos HaGuf addresses the question: when did she become a ba'ula? When did the mum get here? Right. So it addresses the facts. It's not like a Cheskos Kashrus of the first parak, which doesn't address the facts of the case. It doesn't address it. It just says maintain the status quo that she's kosher. Here, Cheskos HaGuf addresses the facts of the case, and it says that the mum happened later. So why can't the father use that? The Shemaitza does not ask it that way. Okay, he asks it with the din of Cheskos Eimani Labas. So that's his kasha, and he doesn't really understand the point, but he's going to change. In the fifth perek, he's going to explain Ravashi in a different way. He's going to say that Ravashi is not a third teretz to the stira of the Mishnah. Ravashi is a different teretz to Abaye's kasha on Rava. He's coming to save the day for Rava in a different way than the Gemara did. He's going to say a different teretz. Okay, now.
Well, it sort of makes sense because just we learned in the case of Negoyim that, you know, he had a previous Negai, he was coming from there, and it just it would make sense that you could do the same thing for the hiring.
Go be it. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. It makes sense. Chazaka doesn't make sense.
Well, but if you can inherit it.
Yeah.
Sideways.
That's the Shemaitza's kasha. That's what he doesn't get. Okay. The Shemaitza then goes on, sort of gets really deep, deep, deep. This is when we went off track here, and a lot of people fell off the World Trade Center here. The Shemaitza gets deep into the Sugyan Dafayan Hay, and I'm not even sure why he brings down this machlokas. I'm not even quite sure why he does that to us. He wants to make sure you don't survive Shemaitza Beis. He brings out a machlokas Rishonim as follows. Shitas Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugya and Dafayin Hay. That in the Reisha the father has to bring a Raya. Right? The Reisha is saying the father has to bring a Raya. And the Cheskos HaGuf doesn't help. Either because it goes like Rabbi Shua, according to Rav, because of Kanimsa Kanhoya. That's even by Bori Vishama. That's Shitas Rashi and Tosfos, even by Bori Vishama. Bori Vishama doesn't help. Okay? And this is Shitas Rashi and Tosfos. Even if it's not necessarily Bori Vishama,
She could also, we don't know what kind of a mum it is. If it's a ba'ula, basula, obviously she would know. But this might be the type of mum that she also doesn't know. But if even if it would be Bori Vishema, the ratio would still be true. She would not be able to be motzi mumen from the Baal, because there's a reyus on the cheskes aguf, and even Bori Vishema wouldn't help you. In the Seifa, we are being motzi mumen, because the mum was found in the reshus of the Baal, and you're being motzi mumen in the Seifa. That would be even by Shema Vishema. This is Rashi and Tosfos see the Bori Vishema, Shema Vishema. It's not relevant. The ratio is true even by Bori Vishema, and the Seifa is true even by Shema Vishema. The Ran holds no. The Ran holds that Bori Vishema will combine with a Cheskus HaGuf, even against Kan Nimtza Kan Hoya. Even in the ratio where you, L'chora, have this Reyusa in the Cheskus HaGuf, the Ran sheet is that Bori Vishema combines with Cheskus HaGuf to overcome all obstacles,
including
Cheskus Mormon and including Kanimsu Kanhoya. Therefore, the Ran doesn't have to learn that the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis is Mishekin Astani Ne'enasti. He can learn, as the Pashto says, Mishere Astani Ne'enasti, because there it's Bori Vishema. So there, Bori Vishema, we don't care about Kanimsu Kanhoya, because Bori Vishema and Cheskus HaGuf. And we explained it when we learned it, that this question of whether Bori Vishema could automatically hook up with Cheskus HaGuf, we explained there's two ways, that two approaches to a dentura of Mominus. One, it could be Hilchos Tayin V'Nitan, and one could be with Raya, so Mr. Mechavel of Raya. And the question is, if Bori Vishema, which obviously is the Maslul of Tayin V'Nitan, whether that can combine with Cheskus HaGuf, which is the Maslul of bringing Rayas, and whether you're on a different planet and it doesn't combine, or whether it does combine. Al-Kuponim, the Ran says, that's how the Ran explains Ravashi. The Ran's beautiful. The Ran says, because according to the Ran, the whole dynamic is whether you have a Bori Vishema to combine with the Cheskus HaGuf. So now Ravashi is the height of simplicity. In the Seifa, it's talking about Bori Vishema. So in the Seifa, where she's once the Ksuba, and she's a Bori, since Bori Vishema, so that's why she wins and she gets the Ksuba, because it's Bori Vishema with the Cheskus HaGuf. Mashenkin and the Reisha, where the father's the Baldovar, right? The father wants the Ksuba, the father's not a Bori. That's what he's talking about. The father's not a Bori. Right, and she's a Bori, but the father cannot use her Bori. No, so you don't have to say what Rashi says, that the father can't use the daughter's Cheskus HaGuf, which the Shemaitzer doesn't understand. This is a concept all over Shas, which we know, that the father can't use the daughter's Bori. If the daughter's Bori and the father doesn't know, then the father's a Shema. So that's Pshat and Ravashi. When she's a Baldovar, so then you can posit that it's Bori Vishema. When she's the Baldovar in the Seifa. She wants the Ksuba, she's been married already. So she's the Baldovar in the Ksuba. So her Bori is very relevant, and it's Bori Vishema. And Bori Vishema even trumps Kanimtza Kanhoya when it combines with a Cheskus HaGuf. That's what the Shemite, that's what the Ran says.
You know, the Shemite is going to fight that.
Yeah, because the Shemite is going to give a whole different Pshat and Ravashi. Right now, he's giving us a Pshat and Ravashi from Ran. He's letting us see that according to the Ran, Pshat and Ravashi is very smooth. It's smooth. In the Reisha, the father's the Baldovar. Not the way Rashi and Tosfos say the father can't use her Cheskus HaGuf. The father can't use her Bori. Oh, that we know. The father's not a Bori. She's not a witness. She's a Balas Dover. There's no testimony here. It's Mominus. She can't use her Bori. Okay. Stop here. And when we start Monday, we'll have blank looks on our faces again. Monday's a long way away. Yeah.
She can't be born
from the person
of her mother?
The Achronim talk about it in different ways. it's a whole discussion in the first parak.
Then it would be different from us anyway.
Yeah, but the pashtus is whether. I think the pashtus is to learn that the question is, how far does chazaka allow you to assume what must be posited, even though the chazaka doesn't address it? The chazaka says she has a cheskus hatter. It doesn't address who the boyal is. But if you're going to paskin she's kosher, you're going to have to then say and extrapolate that the boil was kosher. Now, can you then turn around, take that extrapolation, and say, well, therefore the daughter is also kosher, even though the daughter has no chazaka?
Well, she's a product of that